The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I've never smoked marijuana in my life because I don't like to smoke anything. Brisket, but that's different. When it comes to THC, though, I tried a couple of THC beverages. I've not noticed, you know, I know there's a lot of political this or that, the other thing. I've not noticed the difference between that or alcohol. There are different effects, but they are both mind-altering substances, and I don't know that one is any worse than the other or any better than the other. Joe Garrity joins us now, CEO of Crescent Canada, to talk about the laws that are going to go into effect on January 1st. Is it Garrity or Jarrity? I just want to make sure I got it right, Joe.
Garrity.
Okay. Tell me, give me, because we've got a couple of minutes here, give me the context on how this became legal and then what happened. The whole story on this and how you got into the business, if you would, please.
Yeah.
I've tried your product, I will tell you, and I like it.
Well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. Long story short, Farm Bill in 2018 legalizes cannabinoids derived from hemp.
Wait. Say it again.
All right, sorry. So in 2018, the Farm Bill was passed and signed by then-President Trump, which legalized hemp-derived cannabinoids, which include substances like CBD, CBN, and THC, which is the cannabinoid in marijuana that gets you high in cannabis. So the only exception to that rule was that THC... Delta 9 THC, which is the most common THC product that sort of gives you that high.
Now hang on a second. Delta 9 is a brand name or some kind of scientific formula or something? What is that?
No, so when you go to Colorado or California and they have legal weed, and you go to a dispensary, you'll find a gummy, let's just say, that says it has 10 milligrams of THC.
Okay.
And what they're talking about specifically there is Delta 9 THC.
So it's a type of THC, Joe?
It's
a strength rating or something.
When people refer to THC, what they're really referring to is Delta 9 THC. It's just the specific name for the cannabinoid that gets you, that produces the intoxicating high in cannabis.
Okay.
So you can derive THC from marijuana, which you find in mostly dispensaries, or from hemp, which was legalized under the Farm Bill. Mm-hmm. The only exception being that it has to be below 0.3% on a dry weight basis, which leads to a considerable amount that you're able to add to products that contain sugar, for the most part.
Wait, is that part again about the sugar?
If you add sugar to pretty much any beverage, or gummy, you'll wind up with enough dry weight where you can put in a good bit of the high producing THC.
All about the ratios, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So what that was intended to do when they passed the Farm Bill originally was really to allow for CBD products to exist. which are more kind of medically speaking, less, they don't produce a high. They generally will help with inflammation. A lot of people were using them for medical purposes when this law was passed, and they still are today. But it did create this, you know, some are calling it a loophole, that allowed for THC to find its way into beverages, into gummies, and really into the market as a whole. And because this product was made legal through the Farm Bill, it's allowed to be sold pretty much everywhere. And so Louisiana was very early to the game when it came time to regulate these products and create laws. So they started out with a pretty, early bill that did a good job of starting the conversation of how these products should be regulated and where they should be sold, and really, you know, gave the consumer the opportunity to be introduced to this product category. And now, fast forward a few years, we've had a few different versions of hemp bills passed through the state legislature. And the most recent one takes a very big chunk of products that consumers are currently enjoying off the market. It also precludes gas stations from selling these products and from new bars and restaurants from getting permits.
Real quick, the Crescent 9, you sell a product that says highly potent. That's got 10 milligrams, correct? I got that right?
50. 50 is actually our high potency, yes.
And then they also have them that have 5 milligrams. And the law says that you can only have 5 milligrams per serving, which is in a can, correct?
Yeah, previously you were allowed to sell cans or bottles that had multiple servings per container. The new law makes it so that you're only allowed to have one serving per 12-ounce can.
So I'm just trying to move us along here. The bottom line is what's going to happen here is for people to get the same amount of THC, they're going to have to drink one hell of a lot more sugar. Is that accurate?
Yeah, for the most part.
And buy more cans.
Yeah, you can also still buy gummies in up to 8-packs, and you can buy beverage products up to 4-packs. So it's just going to require people to consume a lot more to get the same effect that they were getting previously.
All right, hang on a second. I want to ask you about who's behind this, and what do you think is behind it, and what this means for your business when we come back in a second, okay?
Sounds good.
Thank you, Joey. Real quick, Joey, the difference between THC and CBD?
THC produces an intoxicating high. CBD is generally used more for like medical purposes.
Thank you, sir. 7:56. Quickly back to Joe Garrity, CEO of Crescent Canna. We've already discussed what led to the legalization of THC, the changes that are going to occur on January 1st. Joe, I got to know, you got capital investment in this. You're a businessman. How has this changed your business model, and what do you do from here?
We are fortunate to be distributed now in about 16, 17 states. So Louisiana is where we make home. You know, my office is on Magazine Street. And the reality is just that we won't be investing quite as much in this market as we would have liked otherwise. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon at this point to have changing hemp laws. You know, we did expect something to be done. We were actually fortunate to survive this session. When the session began, we were pretty much told we were dead in the water in Louisiana. We had some considerable opposition coming, you know, everything from the Senate president to some of the state's richest and most powerful people.
All right, let me ask you this, Joe. Why the opposition? Tell me what's going on behind the scenes, because people want to know. Because I do, I have tried your product. I like it. I don't want to have to buy more of it. I am stocking up. I'm not, I don't drink a lot. I don't use your product a lot. But when I do, I enjoy it. What practical effect is this going to have on the public, and who's behind it? Why change it?
Well, it's, you know, that a lot of the legislators who voted for these products to become legal claimed they were duped a little bit. They didn't really read what was in the bill originally, and they didn't understand it, and they voted for it anyway. And then when it came time to face the reality of the industry they created and the jobs they created, instead of taking credit, they pointed fingers and said, well, I didn't know what I was doing. So you have kind of the religious right, the Louisiana Family forum who oppose these things on a fundamental basis. They don't believe in intoxicating products and creating industries around them. You also have the alcohol industry who in, at least last year was still seeing cannabis as opposition and not something that they could get behind and make money with. And, you know, in the last year, that's changed a lot. Some of the major players in alcohol are now involved in the distribution of cannabis products as well. And that's a good thing for them because beer and the alcohol industry in general has been suffering. The other major player in the room that's opposed to these products, a bit ironically, is companies like Good Day Farms and the medical marijuana industry, who've created this, you know, regulated, if you'll say that, in my opinion, overregulated and really exclusive club where only they're allowed to sell these products. And there are only a handful of these stores around the state, and there are only two people that are allowed to grow, and those are no longer the universities. Those are, you know, Good Day Farms and one other.
Who owns those farms?
In the state of Louisiana.
Who owns those
farms? Good Day Farms is, I'm not 100% sure what the ownership distribution is, but it's a Boise Bollinger company.
Okay.
And John Davis, I believe, is the CEO over there. Mm-hmm. And they have fought and gotten these licenses and lobbied to get them, and they see us as a, you know, as competition, and a lot of people in business, they
we got 10 seconds left, Joe. Bottom line, this is not about public safety. This is about business and protection of their industry. Accurate?
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.